And the other thing that happened about the same time, 1617, is 72. So in 1968, the person that sat in the pew at church with us, a guy named Bill Nye. Bill was the oldest brother of George, and there were two other brothers, Wade and Sam.
Governor George Nye.
Governor George Nye. And so Bill had been the state representative in Muskogee, and he wanted to be run for corporation commission. And so he wanted to run a statewide campaign, and he convinced my parents that it would be good experience for me to travel with him. So I got out of my comfort area of eastern Oklahoma, and I went to the far corners of Oklahoma. I went all the way out to Guymon. I went to Altus with Bill, and my job was to take his flyers. Back then, we didn't have brochures. We just had flyers. And stick them under car windshields.
And how old were you then? What grade?
I was 15, turning 16.
Wow. Did you look back on that? What a wonderful experience for you.
It was. It was. I got to go to various things that, my favorite was the Watermelon Festival in, I'm trying to remember where it is. It's down by Chickasha. And it was held forever. And all the politicians would come and talk. Andy Payne, who walked across America to win some award. Of course, Bob Kerr, Charles Nesbitt. All those people were there, and they were speaking. And Bill got to speak as well.
So that's like a junior in high school.
It was. I'm a junior in high school, and I'm wandering around. It's the first time I met Larry Derryberry, the former attorney general. Larry was a former state representative. He was still a state representative from Altus, and we spent the night at his house. That was how they ran those campaigns. If you were a former legislator, you convinced them all. They didn't have to necessarily support you, but that they would provide you housing. So we spent the night with Larry and his family. That would have been, 1970.
So you're exposed to several areas of life. So did politics then begin? Maybe I'd like to run for office.
No, never had. It's really interesting. I have, and particularly as I got more into politics, people would ask, why don't you run? And I says, have no interest. I'm happy to help people get elected, but never had any interest of actually being in office myself.
All right, let's take you back to writing. When did writing fascinate you?
Not really sure. I am not a good writer. I am an average writer. I know how to write for a newspaper. I tried a book once, and I just couldn't do it.
A book on?
Judges.
Okay. You started it.
I did. I was commissioned to do it. Gary Richardson, a former U.S. attorney in Muskogee, and then ran for governor. I think he's still an attorney. He wanted me to write it, and so I started it, and it just was not in me. So I was a reporter. I love to ask people really difficult questions. That served me very well. And so if that's the first element of being in journalism, is if you don't ask good questions or probing questions and get to why, not just the who, what, when, how. Once you get to why, you've got a story.
So the writing then just started in your life, and you're not exactly sure why, but you started writing, and no particular inspiration you had, I guess. You just, is that what you would say?
I was pissed off when I got kicked out of journalism class. So probably that initial writing for the underground newspaper was out of spite and not a healthy reason, but it's the best that I can do that I can remember why. And then after I did that, I went to the Muskogee Phoenix And they started me on obituaries. And so I wrote obituaries probably, well, I wrote obituaries for a long time, but just solely obituaries for probably close to a year.
As while you're still in high school?
In high school. And I would go, I had a couple of odd jobs at the newspaper. This was in a period where the mechanics of the news coming in over the wire was changing, and so it was becoming electronic. And so we, at one point in the middle, we had computer tapes that had the story on it, and so we had to attach the computer tape to the actual printed copy that came in over the AP or the United Press wire service. And so that was one of my jobs, and so I did that on Saturdays and Sundays. And then from 5 to 7 weekdays, I might write obituaries, or there was a column about, you know, what happened in Muskogee 25, 50, 75, 100 years ago, and I'd write that by going back and looking at the microfilm.
Did you enjoy the obituaries, writing obituaries?
I remember how I was told, what I was told before I started writing obituaries. It's the last time this person will ever have their name in the newspaper. Don't screw it up. Phil Harris, he was the day editor, and he kind of oversaw me, and Phil was in his 70s by the time I showed up, and he was good and sound.
I have a fascination with reading obituaries in the New York Times. I love to read those stories.
They're great.
Yeah, they are.
And they have the advantage, those really good obituaries, is they're doing them while the person is still alive.
Yeah.
And that is much like your program. You're capturing people's thoughts. And then the hard part is, and this is what I was always told about journalism, the hard part is, what are you not going to report? Because you do have to self-edit.
Yeah. So then you had to interview members of the family.
Sometimes when they were prominent, you bet. You know, I did. But, you know, the funeral homes did a damn good job. They would come in with lots of detailed information. You know, I've talked to a lot of funeral home directors over the years, and that's one thing that they miss out of their business, that they really got to know who the person they were putting in the ground. Mm-hmm. And they did it by interviewing the family.